So the title of the talk tonight is what is beyond transformation? And it really has to start from, and we have to keep starting from an understanding that life in essence cannot be anything other than totally free, without limitations, and doesn't belong to us. We belong to it. And we can't start from any other place. And in the end, we have no choice other than to kind of, in one way or another, during our life, to say, let life take us. Take me. Because it's going to do it. Whether we like it or we don't like it. The issue isn't that. The issue isn't that we don't deeply understand that. The issue is the constructions, the forms that we build through conditioning, through hatnaya conditioning, during our life, step by step. And we find ourselves a person full of stories, full of wounds, narratives, resistance, limitations, memories, identity, knowledge, a world like this, and a very big self that is wrapping all of that inside it. Self, which is operating in the world, if we have a understanding of the unlimited nature of life, then this self feels somewhat like a prison. We can feel like a king. I'm in charge of my life. But if we look carefully, the king in his palace is actually a king in a prison. And that's a metaphor from the Buddha. That the king sits in his chair, the king is me, I'm in charge of my life, but he can't see the windows. Everything is closed. So it's like this. And that's the issue. It's not life the issue, it's that we are inside our own constructions, our own prison. And then we have an intuition or a search that urges us to be free. Everybody feels that. Somewhere deep down, everybody has that knowledge, never mind whether they practice or they don't practice, that they want to be free. So they go on holidays because it's less stress, or they try and change the conditions, if I have $1 million, then everything will be okay. And if I have the next million, it'll be even better. And if I have another million after that, it'll be even better. If I have a better car, a better life, a better husband, or a better wife, or a better family, or a better country, or whatever, or just better food. I don't know. So even that movement to change conditions externally is already a kind of search of restlessness, of wanting to get out of the prison that is holding us like this. As we go into the spiritual life, this search becomes internal. So instead of saying, I need a better car, we would say, I need to be free from my issues and problems. I need to be free a little bit from my stories. I need to be free from the wounds that I've received in my life. I need to be a little bit freer from myself, you know, my habits and my negatives and my addictions. So the spiritual life knows, okay, it's not enough just to change conditions, because that's like being in the prison, just changing the furniture. Here is the place to change, and we know that. So that's our much of our spiritual life. We go on courses, retreats, we learn, we read books and so on. And it's about transformation here. Still part of that same search. We want to be more calm. We want to have less fears in life. We want to be more easy with ourselves and with other people. We want to have less anger, less loneliness, more love in our life. So all these are part of a search that is now going inwards, because we realize that it's not just outside conditions we have to change, it's inside conditions that we have to change. And the Dharma really helps us in this, because there's something very beautiful about the Dharma. The teaching is so vast, the Buddha Dharma, that it will take whatever you come to it, however you come to it, it will have something for you. If you come to it and say, I need to meditate because I have migraine headaches, it will offer you calming and less headaches. If you come to it saying, I need to deal with some of my woundedness, it will help you. But if you come to it saying, I need ultimate truth, I need to touch the beyond, it will help you there too. And Dharma can really offer something at all levels, which is why I think it's such a magical path and such a rich path. The concept kusala is something very important. It's written into the Dharma. It's about knowing what is wholesome, healthy, whole, supporting the best that you can be, and at the same time supporting the best you can act in the world. So the Dharma will help you with this, with the inner transformation. But the basis of the Dharma is actually saying something beyond that. It's even in the Four Noble Truths, which is, if you like, the basic structure of Dharma. The Four Noble Truths don't start with, first you have to be free. First, freedom. It doesn't start with absolute, anything absolute. It starts with limited. You're limited. Why are you limited? Because of this being closed in through attachment. In other words, it's often called, what's called in Latin, via negativa, as opposed to via positiva. Via negativa means, it's often seen, the Dharma is often seen, and a little bit of a mistake, in my view, as getting rid of what stops us from being free, rather than offering us freedom. But there's something very true about that as well. That the Dharma gives us a very clear message. That what we need to do is dissolve, and I'm using that word purposely, to dissolve the walls of the prison. What is holding us like this? to dissolve the attachment, and then freedom happens by itself. It doesn't give us this goal of freedom, 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 freedom. It says, don't worry about freedom. Because freedom is in the nature of things. It's not something that you can grab onto, because that's the same search and the same pain of imprisonment. Instead of that, keep undoing and dissolving the ties that bind us, and freedom arises by itself, because there cannot be anything other than freedom. There cannot be. Life is like that. Life is inherently free. Therefore, there isn't any other thing that can happen. What we have to do is work to dissolve the ties that bind us. And that's why it's sometimes called via negativa, meaning not this, not this, not this. Like Nagarjuna. Neti, neti. Not this, not this, not this. Just leave that. Then leave this. Then leave that. Then leave this. And you, the bigness of things arises by itself. So a lot of our practice is really about dissolving stories, seeing that they don't hold, they're not so solid as we thought, dissolving our beliefs, dissolving our emotional tangles and confusions, and our habits of fears or angers or whatever. And looking at the world rather differently, not as the world being believed in. The world is like this, this is a fact. But dissolving that fixation, keep it on, that the world is like that. Why? Because I was told. Someone told me. My school, my parents, my society, the books I read, this is the world. There's a beautiful phrase coming from the Dharma that says, whatever you can think or know, things are other than that. Whatever we think is in the world, whatever we think or know, the world is other than that. And this really is important when we talk about the self, me. Because the me is something that we think we know. I think I know myself. I have a label, I have a name, I have a body, I have a difference from other people, I have reactions, I have a biography, I have a story, I have a history, I have parents, I have a nationality, I have a skin color, I have an age, I have da 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 da. That's surely my experience. So there cannot be a question about it. But things are other than that. And if we look at this thing called me, we get surprised. And we, not that we cancel the self, but that simply we can't find it as we think it is. It's other than that. Whatever we try and look at the self, we see it is other than what we think. We simply can't find it. And anatta, which is the theme of this retreat, is not, there isn't such a thing as self, because we experience self as point of view, it's an experience, but that we can't find this thing. So I'm really inviting you to look for it. It's a opposite maybe of what you thought, that we're going to be looking for emptiness. I'm inviting you to look for the self. Look for yourselves. Can't find it. And so, in a way, liberation arises when everything else is dissolved. And we don't have to worry about liberation. Nibbana. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to have theories about it. Just when we look at reality and see it other than what we think it is, or it's dissolved, or we see through it, or it passes, or it doesn't, we can't catch it, then by itself a sense of liberation arises. It has to, because that's dharma, means truth, the truth of things. It just arises. When the content is less important, then we see the space. If we see a page and the words are less important, what's written there, we can begin to see the white paper. If we're busy just reading the words, we forgot the white paper. We don't notice it. If we take a step back, you see it now, because you're not reading the black letters. So you see more, you see white and grey and so on. That's a certain truth of looking at this thing. But if we look at the text, we forget the white. There is an image that's used quite a lot about, which is a similar issue. We've been talking about this quite a lot during the next few days and practicing with this. The image is of the grain of salt. If you dissolve a grain of salt in a cup of water, the cup will taste salty. If you dissolve a grain of salt in a lake of sweet water, it doesn't change anything. Our sense of space is what arises when we take the grain of salt less seriously. It dissolves into more space. We have more space around it. The grain of salt just dissolves. The grain of salt is me, my life, my story, my issues, my fears, my problems, my disappointments, the stories we tell ourselves are like grains of salt. When we allow more space by letting things go, by opening our experience, the grains of salt don't do that much anymore. And we need to look, to do that, we need to look very carefully at our experience. Very carefully. What is it? An experience. What is it? What is happening when I experience something? What is an experience? We're hearing now. You're hearing the words from me. What is that experience? What's it made of? What is it? What am I doing with it? Where is it going? There is a text that says, I'll offer a teaching that is good in the meaning and good in its taste, and it will successfully lead to the liberation. And this is the teaching of emptiness in the true sense of the word. And what does it mean, the teaching on emptiness in the true sense of the word? Seeing, when it arises, doesn't come from anywhere, and when it dissolves, it doesn't go anywhere. Therefore, seeing doesn't arise as a real thing. The action is there, the response is something is happening, but there's no one doing it. In other words, everything in this world should be regarded as a metaphor. It's just a metaphor, it's not a reality. Everything is a metaphor. That's an amazing statement. To me, it's a knockout. It's really a knockout. Everything is a metaphor. In other words, we think we know what we are, we're just a metaphor. That's all. We can see it by our practice of awareness. We can see it when we practice in meditation and in mindfulness, when we see in the moment the arising and disappearing of an experience. The immediacy, the miyadiyut of our experience will take us there by itself, because in the moment of an experience, we know it arises and passes. It isn't there. It's just something that is just arising and passing on its own. The words that you're hearing now are just arriving, landing, gone. Where do they go? I don't know. Who can say? Where do they go? Where are they coming from? I don't know. Whole bunch of conditions make a word. Then it's gone. The word is anyway a metaphor. The moment is a metaphor. You're a metaphor. I'm a metaphor. And we see this in the immediacy, the rishoniyut of our experience. And that's our meditation practice. Because again and again we see that, understand the nature of experience that creates space. And when space is made inside us, freedom happens by itself. Our experience is more spacious, is more open. The same time, I think I don't want to put down or make as Kielu second-rate sugbet the journey of transformation. I think we need both. I think one of the issues, I'm a real, real fan for like the last 30 years of Advaita teachings. And I'm all the time reading and thinking about Advaita teachers and teachings in which there's a sense of the absolute, the absolute behind things and so on. But the Dharma is very wise. It says, okay, be there with the absolute. The Buddha again and again said it. Be there with it, but it's also okay to have a form and to be step by step, to develop more freedom and to develop qualities which are beautiful qualities of how we live. And don't wipe them out and say, just the ultimate, and only the ultimate. Both go together. Form and the formless go together. The form called I'm a metaphor of me, and I just like to work on the qualities and the freedoms and the calmness and more love and more. It's fine. Qualities are fine, they're really important. At the same time, undoing things, letting things dissolve, seeing things as transparent, shakuf. I think they go together, I think this is the wonderful aspect of Dharma teaching, that we don't have to be obsessed with the absolute, with the ultimate, with the freedom, with the emptiness. The Buddha said again and again, don't get interested in emptiness. Even it seems like the Buddhists are all busy with emptiness. The Buddha said, no, don't start getting interested in emptiness, because it will just get you stuck on something else. And the reason you look why you're interested in emptiness is because of your pain. that you're not, that you're in form. So therefore you want emptiness. Leave it. Just see that the form itself is inherently dissolving. It's a metaphor. It's not, you can't catch it. And that's emptiness. It comes by itself. So we, in our practice, and basically in this retreat, we're going to work on the dialogue between form and formless. Between more space inside and a form called me and my issues. Working on both together. Realizing we have more space, things are not, we can't catch things so easily, but realizing, yeah, I can change, I can transform. And it's interesting that at the beginning of this text, the sutta, he says, the Buddha says, I will offer you a teaching that is good at the beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end. And you would think that, and the teaching is about emptiness, in inverted commas. The true sense of the word of emptiness. How can this be good for us at the beginning? How can when we're just starting to practice, we need to think about emptiness? But I think what's inspiring is that it means that a little bit more space inside us really works. If we get a little bit more sense of space, a sense of things dissolving, not being so solid, the sense of me taking ourselves more lightly, a little bit more lightness and spaciousness inside us, the sense of uncertainty, how we can really look at ourselves, do we really exist as a thing, the sense of questioning. This is the beginning. It does the job. The further we go, the more deeper it works. But it's good at the beginning. We can live less closed like this. There's little spaces. We open some space. It's not all like that. We open some space. We feel better. We feel more free. We feel less like a king inside a castle with all the walls locked. There's more windows. So it's good at the beginning, it's good in the middle, it's good at the end. So I don't think we need to worry about or measure it or how much emptiness I experienced in this retreat. I mean, don't worry about all of that. It's not, you don't need to worry about it. It's just, we just need to do the job of seeing things as they arise, letting them dissolve, slowly, slowly allowing more space to be experienced. Slowly, slowly, it will happen by itself. Seeing things, letting them dissolve. Seeing things not as closed, but as small windows. Not easy to talk about these things sometimes. And indeed, in the Dharma, the Buddha, as I say, didn't talk so much about Nibbana and what it is and the ultimate and the absolute and the this and the freedom and the unlimited and so on. Because it, in a way, it doesn't need words. I was, some of you know because I sent around to some of the old timers in the Dharma. They did an experiment on me and in Bar-Ilan University. And I was entering different meditation experiences. And as things got more spacious, it got more difficult to describe. So when you see a form, its language is easy. When it gets formless, then the language also goes. And it was really interesting to try and find language as things got more formless. And this was a whole academic paper was written about this experience, which I sent to some of you. Form and formless, and the form dissolving by itself, slowly, 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 as we see it as it really is. So, I invite you in this retreat to look carefully at our experience, at your experience, moment by moment. Don't worry too much about any concepts of self or emptiness or whatever. Don't worry about the concepts. Just look carefully at what is an experience, and allow this looking to dissolve the solidity of what it is we see, and by itself, this thing here will be less solid, less certain, less total, and there'll be a whisper of freedom will just arise. Nichuach, maybe you call it. The scent of freedom will just happen by itself. Thank you.